Okay, let's start. We are now at the end of week 40. And on Monday there's the midterm exam, but let's just recap this, where we are so far. So these last 2 weeks has, as I mentioned before, been the core of the course, which is why I've called these weeks Infrastructure as Code, which is what this entire course will be named next year. And this completes our setup of Puppet in a professional manner. And I can show you what the way this looks like . Yes, of course. There we are. So, as I mentioned to you before, we use Foreman for installing and assigning Puppet configuration in the Sky-Hi cloud. So, an OpenStack cloud consists of controller servers, of compute servers, of storage servers, typically. So you see that the Sky-Hi cloud consists of 15 physical servers. So whenever you start a virtual machine, one of these 5 compute nodes, it's as simple as the one with the most available resources, and in practice that means the one with the most available RAM, is chosen, and the virtual machine is launched on that node. And then we can do things like we can... we who are administrators, we can then live migrate all the virtual machines from one compute node to another, so we can take down one compute node for maintenance if we want to do that. So the point being, you see, we have compute nodes, we have controller nodes, we have a manager, we have a monitor, and we have storage nodes, and we have this temp space node, which is just something we use if we need to dump a large amount of data. This then translates to these are identical. The controllers are identical configuration wise, and the compute nodes are identical. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different roles. So you see here that if I look at a compute node, what kind of Puppet classes has been assigned to this? Just one. This is where we want to be, that we have each server should have one and only one role, and this role again consists of a set of profiles. So this has the compute role, which is composed of a bunch of profiles. And the same thing is, I can show you that this of course is the same with a controller node. Which then has the role of a controller. And so the controller role and the compute role, they have some overlapping, or they use some of the same profiles. So a profile is included in many roles. But this pattern that a server has one and only one role, and a role is composed of profile classes, that's where we want to be. So if... if I want to increase the capacity of the Sky-Hi cloud, I just buy a new server, I put it in the rack, I hook it up to the right networks. It has to be connected to 4 different networks. And then I power it on. Then what happens is that I can go to configure. No, sorry, to hosts. And in this version of Foreman, I've installed a plugin called Discovery. I can go here. And if I plugged on a new server, it will show up in this list here. And then I could assign a configuration to it. I could assign an operating system and a Puppet role, and then just reboot the server, and it would automatically install and become part of the OpenStack cloud based on the Puppet configuration. Okay. So that was what I wanted to show you from Sky High. Okay, we know that our setup okay, I have to disconnect this for a second. Like this. Yes, so our setup currently should look something like this after we have completed the first part of the last exercise. So we should create a heat stack with a Windows server, 3 Ubuntu servers. Download this and launch this. And you will see that when you launch this and you go to infrastructure, smart proxies, the 4 new hosts will appear in the list we have here. And they will appear here with a button that you should sign them, and that so I have done. So, and then when Puppet is run again on these hosts, they show up in the list here. So, when we have these servers in Foreman, we were going to use the workflow that we have read about and heard about in the videos I've asked you to watch and described here as well, with using an external Git repository, meaning that I should now on my, so here I have a Git repository, so I can do a Git pull if I want to do that. Well, sorry, Git. See, I have 2 branches. And I'm currently on the testing branch. Then I can pull origin testing. If someone else is working on that branch, then I make sure that I fetch and merge the changes that are in the repository. And then I can make my changes and I can push if I want to. I have a Git repository here, which I now can work on, and I can push my Puppet code. And we should have 4 such repositories. We have the profile repository, which represents the Puppet profile module. We have the role repository, which represents the Puppet role module. And we put our Hiera data in a separate repository as well. And then we have what is called the control repository, which is R10K. We have called it R10K. You can, of course, call it whatever you want. But these four now contain, well, R10K contains the Puppet file, and probably only the Puppet file, while the other ones, role and profile, contain Puppet code, and HieraData, of course, contains HieraData. And the way this now works is that, so let me log into Sky High and see, I'm on my manager. So when I've installed and set this up, I have a configuration file in R10K YAML. So I've asked you to set up the Git repositories with SSH keys so you can push and pull without providing your password all the time. Instead, you use your SSH key. And then you create these repositories. And you prepare Hiera so that you can use Hiera in different environments as well. I'll get back to this quite soon. And then you should set up the Puppet file, and then let's see, create the branches, etc. And this I'll get back to as well. And then we install R10K. And we can install by running a Puppet apply with this code here. And this basically then installs R10K and sets up the configuration file for R10K. So you will see that what you have written here is quite close to what you see here. So this is the configuration file of R10K. So when I run R10K, it will look at these two Git repositories, one for HieraData and one for R10K. And what R10K does is it fetches this Git repository, examines the branches, and creates environment for each branch. So these two repositories, they should have a production branch and a testing branch, and R10K will create Puppet environments with these branches. It will do this for both the HieraData and for R10K. The big difference is that, in addition, R10K understands the Puppet file. So for the HieraData repository, R10K will just download and create two directories, one testing and one production. For R10K, this repository, R10K will download, create these environments, and read the Puppet file in these branches and install the respective modules. I've tried to write this down in a systematic manner, like this. I will publish this to Fronter as well. So this configuration file, this tells R10K which repositories to fetch and create Puppet environments. Remember, a Puppet environment is just a directory. It's a directory called the name of the environment. So this tells which repositories to fetch and create environments from their branches. Then in the control repository, there is a Puppet file. And we have named this control repository R10K. By the way, when you have read and watched the videos, you will see that there are different ways of doing this. Some merge this Hiera data into the control repository, or you can leave it separate. We have chosen to leave it separate now, but there are different ways of designing this, but the basic concept that we cover are the same. So if the branches in these repositories contain a Puppet file, R10K uses that to have an exact specification of what should be deployed in that environment. So in the production branch of the R10K repository, there is a Puppet file. And this Puppet file, it does not specify a branch of the role and the profile module, meaning it will use the default, which is the master branch. While the Puppet file in the testing branch of this repository, this specifies that the testing branch of the role and profile module should be used. This is maybe the hard part to get, how this Puppet file links to role and profile. You can check this with so if I go to my repository, I can do a git diff. So first, you see that I have a production branch and a testing branch. If I want to see the difference between these, I can go do a git diff production testing. Let me do this again. So you see the difference in this is the production environment, and it says use this module, use this module on Git, which is called role, and then it doesn't say anything more, meaning this will download the master branch of that module. So if you don't specify anything, it will download the default branch of the module, meaning the master branch when I here, unless I've provided set the default to be something else. But by default, a Git repository has a branch called master. So this will download the master branch of the role module, and this will download the master branch of the profile module. Meaning, if you make a change to the master branch of role or profile, and then run R10K deploy, this will deploy your changes into production. While the testing branch of R10K has specified that the role and profile module should be installed from their testing branch. So you see, other than that, the Puppet file is identical. Sometimes when you do development, you will make changes and specify different versions of other modules in the Puppet file as well. But this is the key. This means that in normal circumstances, when you do Puppet coding, you do not have to change anything in the Puppet file. You just work in the profile repository, make changes in the testing branch, commit, push them, deploy your environments, and see how they behave in the testing environment. And if they are okay, you in the profile module just merge them into the master branch and commit and push, and then deploy again. And anything you put in the master branch will then end up in the production environment. So in other words, normally you, unless you're making really big changes, installing new modules and stuff, you don't have to do anything with the control repository. This is set up, so under normal small changes, you just write code in the profile module and commit them and push them in the testing branch, deploy and see that they're okay, and then you can merge it into the master branch and push them, and you will know that when next time you deploy, they will end up in production. Okay, so to demo how this now works, let's just so here I'm logged in to the monitor host, the testing host, and login 01. If I write bin, there's no bin clock here, and in testing there's no bin clock here either. And you see that I have put my host called test.borg.trek in the testing environment, and the other ones are in production. So if I after I've run R10K for the first time, I need to go to configure environments and then import from manager borg.trek. And this will probably say that there are no changes, because I haven't made any changes. I have my two environments. I have production and I have testing. And you see I have six hosts in production and one host in testing. No changes detected. And the same thing is if you make changes to if you make changes to your Puppet code that involves that you create new classes, then you also have to go inform on Puppet classes and import them here. And as I mentioned before, if you have added classes and committed them, deployed them, and you want to import them into Foreman, and it says no changes detected, then there's probably something with your code that doesn't validate. Okay, let's go back to all hosts. And my host here, which is in the testing environment. This is, let's see, what is this assigned? We have not created any roles yet. We're just assigning a profile directly. So we will do that the next 2 weeks. We will create more profiles and create roles based on those profiles. So you see here that this is assigned the profile based Linux class. So if I now want to install, so let me show you how awkward and clumsy it can be to install a single program. Of course, if I want bin clock now, of course I just do apt-get install bin clock. But if we want to do that with the proper workflow, what we do is the following. So I go to my profile repository. Let's always check before you start coding, check which branch you are on. That's always a good idea. Yep, I'm on the testing branch. And in my testing branch, I go to the manifests directory. And here I have a file called base Linux. Yes. And here I install some bunch of software. I should probably add bin clock to this variable, which is in Hiera. But I'm just going to do this simple now. Package bin clock. Ensure latest. Latest means it will be updated if there's a newer version. If I just say ensure present, it will not necessarily be updated. Okay. So as you see, I have all this automatic syntax checking, which not always is useful, but I see here on line 35, no? Do I have trailing white space? Don't worry about that. So you see, it complains about a lot about arrow alignment, but that it is wrong, because I have aligned my arrows, so this linting is not always what I want to do. Okay, but anyway, I've made now a change. You'll see if I say git status, I have modified base Linux, so I need to git commit with added bin clock package. So I committed it, and then I push to origin testing. So now I have, of course, I should have validated my code as well. So pretend that I didn't do the last one before I did puppet parser validate. baselinux.pp. Yep, this was fine. And then I committed, and then I pushed. And then on my manager, I do an R10 K deploy environment. If I don't say anything, it will deploy all environment. Now I'm just going to deploy my testing environment. I can also choose to deploy just modules, specify exactly what I want to deploy. It also says that I have an error syncing the role repository, and that's correct because I haven't created anything in the role repository yet. So now I have deployed this, and instead of waiting up to half an hour now, so you see that bin clock is not here. If I now run puppet agent minus t on test, and test is of course a host that is in the testing environment. You see it says that here, that by default puppet tries to run a host in a production environment, but doesn't match server specified node environment, because Foreman has specified that this host should be in testing, and that overrides Puppet's default attempt at running it in production. So this is run in the testing environment. And we see here that something happened. Yes, we now have a binary clock here. If I were to do the same on the monitoring host, the monitoring host is not in the testing environment, it's in the production environment, so nothing gets installed there. Any questions? Yeah. So I should have added something here to do a little bit more and put this together as a role. But we'll do that next week. Then we create the role of a monitoring server. Okay. Yes, that was what I wanted to show you about R10K and the workflow. As some of you may have noticed, by the way, the exercises for the next weeks, which we will start on after the midterm on Monday, will be published sometime this evening or tomorrow morning. You might have noticed that I have added another video in parentheses here. And I just wanted to show you. So this is, I added this video in the beginning. This is of course nothing relevant for the exam or something. It's just something I didn't discover when I made the course, but I think is nice introductory material. Because at CERN, you know, they have, let's see, they have this big tunnel underground. Let's see. Where they're trying to discover, yes, they have this tunnel underground, which is underground under the city of Geneva, and I don't remember how many kilometers it is. Do you? That's, oh, it's like, but how long is it, the entire tunnel? Is it like 10 kilometers or something? It's either 6-7 kilometers or like 13 kilometers or something. But an enormous tunnel underground, where they send particles. 27 kilometers. Yeah, so it was twice as much as I said, 13 or 14. So 13.5 times 2, then 27. So I was almost there. So they send particles in this tunnel. And at four locations, they cross the beam, so they collide. And when they collide, it is generated roughly 1 petabyte of data each second. So they have 1 petabyte of data each second. Of course, there's no way to easily store 1 petabyte of data each second. So they run it through... they run it through a whole bunch of servers. They have to filter the data to delete most of it, and let's see if I have, yes, so they filter this petabyte of data through these servers. They have about 3,000 servers, and I think their system administration team. How many system administrators do you need to manage 3,000 servers? I think the answer to that is 7, which is what Egil told me. This is Hans Åge, who are down at the IT department now. He was at CERN, and I visited him and took this picture. And these are the 3,000 servers that filter this data. They run without disks. So they boot off the network. They just do computational algorithms to filter data. Some of these algorithms have been programmed and developed by one of the professors here, Are Strandli, in the other department. He's a physics professor, and he was at CERN several times. He worked there from 2001 to 2003, where he implemented many of the algorithms he has developed in his research. Who runs on these servers. So they have to filter out all this data, but still there's a huge amount of data that needs to be stored. But what he tells us in this video, which I recommend that you watch, is that they, you know, this used to be state of the art. This used to be that they had the biggest amounts of data that you needed to store, and that they were quite unique. But you know, with today's internet services, with Google, Facebook, Amazon, you know, CERN suddenly becomes small. So, and others are sharing their tools. So what he tells us in this video is that we don't need to develop all our own tools anymore. We have to be better at reusing state-of-the-art open source tools. There are many standard, now standard open source good tools that people use, and we need to choose the right ones. And I want to show you this because that's what I'm trying to do for you in this course. So I hope you recognize that what they do at CERN, you know, they use Puppet. Next week we're going to start on the Elk Stack, Elasticsearch, Logstash, and Kibana for dealing with logs. And you see here, they're not showing Logstash, but they're showing Elasticsearch and Kibana, and I know they're probably using Logstash as well. We are not in touch with Ceph, but Ceph is the storage system we use. So Ceph is the OpenStack, the storage node I showed you. They are Ceph nodes. So Ceph is the storage that you use. And they use OpenStack, of course. And they use Git, of course. The rest of these tools, and Foreman as well, of course, the rest of these tools we don't use, but Jenkins is something I might introduce in this course later, or a similar tool for doing. What is missing in this course, but I'm not sure how much I will cover of it in the future, as I mentioned before, is more on testing and continuous integration and testing. And you saw some of it on the last part of the R10K video. But you hear in these videos that many times they talk about the rest of the tool chains, continuous integration and testing. And this we don't cover that much yet, or not cover at all. But at least I have given you some links to where you can learn more about that for now. But there is another very interesting statement in this video, or which I would like to bring your attention to for 30 seconds. Let's see, where is the sound cable? Ah, thanks. So, listen carefully for the next 30 seconds.
Data on the cloud is a major cultural change. We had the experienced service managers who had been running services for a long period and were finding that the people who were joining their teams actually had been taught Puppet and OpenStack in university. And they were saying, you're doing it all wrong, you should do it this way. And actually we had a skills inversion where rather than the new joiners sitting next door to the specialists and understanding how to do the tools, we're finding the new people explaining the more experienced ones the best way to go. And then finally, we have the people for whom their servers are precious.
That's sort of nice to hear and say that you know, if you know how to do a little bit of DevOps, which is what you're learning in this course, and more Puppet, automation, declarative programming with the right workflow, then you will see that if you come to some companies, they're already doing this and doing it much better, and you can learn how to do this in a real professional way on a day-to-day basis. But you will also see that many places, companies haven't started using this module yet, and then hopefully you will contribute with giving some input in which directions they should go. So I'm sure you heard about DevOps, and if you took Kyrre's course, you heard about DevOps. DevOps is not something, specifically defined, but if we view on Wikipedia, it gives a list here. So the adoption of, DevOps is breaking down the barrier between the developer and the operator, meaning programmer and system administrator should work together, and this should be integrated. And it says that DevOps is being driven by factors such as use of agile and other development processes and methodologies. You learned about this from Tom Røise, and you see that I bring up my Trello, my Kanban, where I have all my tasks that I need to do, which is a part of this. People use the Kanban for separating a big task into smaller tasks and moving them from to do to doing to done, and having a workflow easily visualized with a Kanban. Demand for increased rate of production releases from application and business unit stakeholders. We don't do much with that. We can't do much with that. But note here, so to do DevOps, wide availability of virtualized and cloud infrastructure. That's what we're doing, that's what you're doing, that's what you're learning. Increased usage of data center automation and configuration management tools. This is Puppet. And Puppet and PowerShell desired state configuration, which we will learn about in 2 weeks. Then finally, increased focus on test automation and continuous integration. And this is where something that, as I mentioned, I will probably strengthen in this course and in the coming years. It might be that this will be in a different course that will be developed next year by someone else. Okay, so that was a little bit of slightly digression, but then I think we covered the most important part about R10K, and I tried to explain how this R10K, the repositories, are linked together with the Puppet file, and that an environment, Puppet environment, is really just a directory. Any questions? No, then I think we close the lecture.